I grew up in an area of our country, those of you who are ready to know that, for those of you who guess, I grew up in the Atlanta, Georgia area, which was the Bible Belt. When I grew up, I never knew anybody that
went to my school and my class. I didn't know anybody that didn't go to church. That's just how common it was when I was growing up. That's a long, long time ago in another part of the country, but literally, I never had anyone in my school class who didn't go to church somewhere. That was just the nature of the culture and the world I grew up. So from the time I was, just before I can even remember, I had been around the Christmas story. And I'd heard all of the Christmas story. I had memorized Luke chapter 2, the part of the Christmas story that was read by, earlier for us. I had to memorize that as a little kid in Sunday school. And there's all the Christmas pageants. And I heard all the stories over and over and over again. And I never grew up, I figured everybody understood and believed the story. And I was sure that I knew everything about it because that was the way it was. That's just the culture that I grew in. What I've learned over time is that for all of us, even those who grew up around the story, sometimes we kind of have an idea about what the story is for and what its purpose is and why it exists. And in fact, sometimes our view of that story is kind of fuzzy. The beautiful thing about the story of Jesus is it itself clarifies something. The story of Jesus that we're celebrating and all the story of Jesus that follows after his birth is actually the clarifying of what the entire Bible is all about. Now, I grew up hearing all the Bible stories, like many of you did. I'd go to Bible school and Sunday school, and I'd hear about David and Goliath and Daniel in the lion's den and all those kinds of stories, heroic stories, wonderful stories. How many of you grew up hearing those stories? Most people, even if you didn't actually grow up in church, heard something. You know, David and Goliath, those kind of stories were popularly known. Well, here's how I approach the stories of the Bible. They were great heroic stories. They made great lessons of courage and bravery and faith and all of those kinds of things. There were miracles that would happen. Noah's Ark, this great miraculous story. And there are all these stories that were out there. And the Bible became, the older I got and the more that I read about the Bible stories, while I knew these individual stories, what in the world, how does it make sense of how it all comes together? I want to read a passage of Scripture to you tonight from one of Paul's letters and just for a moment ask us to think about how all of this comes together in this Christmas season. In the book of Galatians, chapter 4, the Apostle Paul was writing to some people who had begun a journey of following Jesus, but they had become confused themselves about the nature of what it meant to be a follower of Jesus. And he was trying to instruct them and help them to move away from some teaching, some thinking, some ways of following Jesus that were really hurting and confusing them. And so he wrote, he's trying to do that, and he comes to the middle of the fourth chapter. He says some important words to us. But when the time had fully come, in other words, when it was just the precise right moment, when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father, so that you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. And in these few verses, Paul takes us into the middle of the Christmas story and says, this is the story, this is what makes sense of all of the Bible. See, the Bible is not just a collection of great stories, and it does have great stories. It's not just a recording of events long past. It is actually one large story that finds its climax, its important conclusion in the person of Jesus. And that story that we celebrate in this Christmas season is one that interprets for us all of the history that's recorded in the Bible. It takes us back all the way to the very beginning when God created human beings in his image, a man and a woman. He created those people to be personal and relational, both with him and with each other. And he wanted that relationship to be an authentic one, and he gave them the choice whether to live with him or without him, and they chose to live apart from him. And that started a crazy sequence of events that you and I still live in the trail of. Living separated from God, they were left to their own devices, and all of a sudden they didn't know who they were. Have you ever been lost and not known where you were or who you were? It's exactly where Adam and Eve were, apart from God. They thought they would gain some incredible insight, some incredible freedom, some incredible independence, and what they found is that they were simply lost. They did not know who they were, and they did not know where they were going. And the opening, and story after story, of people choosing to live without God. But God, who had created us in his image, says, I love you enough not to leave you in that mess. I'm going to pursue you and make a way back to me. And so all these stories that we read about, all these stories that unfold in Scripture, when we start all the way back with incredible stories like Noah and the Ark, human beings had become so evil and they're living apart from God that God brought a time of testing and judgment. But even in that, he saved out Noah and his family who trusted and had faith in him. We come to the story of Abraham in the Bible. God is now on a purposeful path toward bringing men and women back to himself. So he calls out Abraham. He starts to build a nation through this one man who was going to exemplify, because of God's special favor on them and because of his special revelation to them, he's going to kind of like start over and say, I want to create a people that will demonstrate what it means to live with God. And so Abraham becomes the father of this nation we call Israel. And all through its history, God graciously keeps trying to keep them to live underneath his covenant with them. But they were a lot like the first human beings. They chose to go their own way too. They chose to go their own way, and the cycle of living apart from God continued. And every time you see these stories, God would raise up people. David, a shepherd boy who would eventually become the king of Israel, and on that path, he would demonstrate great faith. And God would say that this is the greatest king of Israel, and one like him will one day rule the earth. And he looking forward down through history of what he was going to do. But the nation of Israel, who had all these blessings, chose to live apart from God. And so one after the other, these stories of the Bible played out, this interchange between God reaching out to us and human beings choosing to live apart from him rather than with him. But in the end, God acted in the way that he had predicted all the way back from the beginning. He loves us enough that he would pursue us all the way, all the way. He would himself come into this world. Now, we celebrate the birth of Jesus at this time every year. We sing the carols and the wonderful songs, and we remember that incredible, dramatic night, that holy night that Katie sang so beautifully about. That night in which God did something that had never been done before and was never done since. In his love and his grace toward us, he entered into our world of suffering, our world of pain, our world that we had created through our own brokenness, our world we had created through our own rebellion. And all of these promises and all of this history and all these stories that were just sort of out there, they all came together. And that one person, Jesus, as God says, all of this is pointing toward this one thing. I am going to rescue human beings from their sin. I'm going to judge that sinfulness in Christ. I'm going to break its power, and I'm going to offer new life. And so, in order to do that, God becomes a human being. Now you and I, we don't understand that. The beauty, the mystery, the wonder, the beautiful baby that's laying in the manger is actually God come in the flesh. A mystery beyond anything we can comprehend, but true and powerful and real. God has acted and that baby would grow. And as a man, that baby Jesus would become a great teacher. But he didn't come as a great teacher simply to give us good moral instruction, although he did that. But in one of his most important talks that he ever gave, he said something profound. He said, all of the law, I am the fulfillment of it. Everything that God had revealed about himself, every law, every precept, every revelation of himself that he had given throughout the course of the history of the nation of Israel. He said, I am the fulfillment of it all. Every single bit, every dot, every cross T, every pen stroke that was given in that revelation pointed to one thing. It pointed to me. But even in those moments of revelation, when Jesus himself comes on the scene to show God's love and mercy, even though he had compassion and mercy and healed people and taught God's profound truth, the people around him, the majority of them, still chose to live without God, still chose to live without God's presence in their lives. And so, Jesus' life ends. Not on the warm, beautiful story of Christmas Eve, but it ends on a cross. And then out of that cross, the glorious resurrection. And without that cross and resurrection, the cradle doesn't have its power. But the cradle is the introduction to the cross. And through that God entering into our world, culminating in his dying for us, there is hope and peace and joy and possibility of new life that comes to us. And so, when we come to this Christmas Eve, the way that we understand all that God had promised, the way that we understand all of God's revelation is to see it as the culmination, as the fulfillment of everything in Christ. We sing a hymn, a Christmas carol, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. It's one of those carols that we sing over and over again, and that it talks about how from the very beginning, God's been pointing at something. And it came in Christ. And now as we live here, with the reality of his birth, the reality of what he's done for us, present and offered to us, we once again in our hearts look for that time when Christ is going to come again. Not as a babe in a cradle, but as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. As the rewarders of those who know him and the judge of all who still choose to live without him. So the question comes to you and to me. How do we see Jesus? And how do we understand the truth of God's revelation to us? Do we see it fuzzy, or do we think we understand it and so we make assumptions and guesses about it? Or do we let all of this truth be interpreted through the person of Jesus as he's revealed to us in Scripture? For it is when we allow Christ to be the interpretive lens for life that we begin to see clearly, begin to understand. And as long as we choose to live apart from that, apart from God and apart from the lens that he's given us to understand all of history, we will continue to stumble around in the darkness with moments where we think we've got it all figured out, missing the point, guessing wrong time after time. But that doesn't need to be our end. The hope of Jesus is that that offers us is that he is the interpreter of all history. He is the point of God's history. He is the point of human existence, that he has come in this cradle, has grown to be the Savior who would die for us and make a way forward, to make a way of forgiveness. And so on this holy night, this wonderful night, this night that we celebrate that God has made himself known completely and fully, and he's opened the way wide open to all who would come and respond to him in faith. And so as we celebrate this Christmas, I pray for you and I pray for me that we will look at the reality of this world not through the eyes that we have in and of ourselves, but through the lens of Jesus who is given to us to help us to see clearly what the true reality is. Would you bow with me for a moment of prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for pursuing us even when we rebelled against you. Thank you that even today we can live in your light. Thank you that even today, because of Jesus, this babe who came and lived and died for us, that we can understand ultimate reality. We can understand and know you. And as we look back through the history of the Bible and see that Jesus is what makes it all come together and clear, and we look forward to the future and know that it's only Jesus who can make the future make any sense, we pray with, along with all so many around the world today and throughout history, come our long-expected Jesus, the fulfillment of everything that Scripture points to, the hope of all that lies ahead, that which our future assured glory with you rests. So we thank you for the babe in the manger, who is the Christ of the cross, in whose name we pray. Amen.